Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Orlando Soccer Show as we record live from the Sylvan Lake Park out here where Orlando City train. We're sitting at one of the very windy pavilions, as you may be able to hear in our microphones. My name is Austin David, and joining me today, finally, for the first time in, I want to say about 3 months, it's Mike Ramajo.
Yeah, I'm finally back, right? It's been a minute that I haven't done one of these. It's either I've been on vacation, I've been a little busy covering the team, that it's kind of limited my time with the soccer podcast, or though I'm back in school at UCF, but I'm happy to be back. Obviously, it's been weird because the season's almost ending, and it feels like it just started yesterday, and here we are, September, you know, with almost a month left to the season.
Yeah, I think for some fans, it might just be that the season can't end soon enough. It's been a rough one, to say the least. We're going to kind of keep this one short because it is kind of towards the end of the week. We'll talk a little bit about the game coming up against Sporting Kansas City. Touch a tiny bit on, you know, what's going to happen with some team in Orlando that's coming back, OCB. We'll talk a little bit about that and what implications that has for the first team. And the Pride, they finished their season in this weekend. So we'll touch a little bit about on everything and try and make a succinct wrap-up of just about everything we can. So let's start with Orlando City, since we are literally out here, sitting just a few steps away from training. Just got out of there, talked to James O'Connor, talked to Dom, talked to Yuri. Former teams for both of them, they really didn't have too much to say in terms of like, oh yeah, this is going to be a game I marked on my calendar kind of thing. You know, both guys were kind of coy about it. They're like, yeah, you know, we've talked about it, but we just want to get a win at this point. You know, the kind of general answer that you would give in that instance. And you even asked Dom, you know, would he celebrate if he scored against his old team? And you know, that will remain to be determined. From his answer, but you know, it was kind of interesting talking to James this morning because we asked him about his lineup changes.
Yeah,
and that was kind of a big sticking point because there have been a lot of them since he's taken over. He's trying to figure out what the hell works for his team because at this point he still really doesn't know. He's still trying to figure it out for himself and trying to find guys that are comfortable in their positions. And that was one of the things he touched on this morning, was that he's just trying to find guys that don't feel uncomfortable playing, that they feel comfortable in the style of play, in the position that they play. And he's just trying guys out to see how it works. And so that's why you probably saw Jonathan Spector as a left back. He hasn't played as a fullback for a number of years, but he's definitely capable of doing it. You saw Christian Higuita on the wing as a more attacking midfielder.
I don't think that worked. He was just all over the place.
He was all over the place, and I think
during the Philadelphia game.
Yeah, and well, that's what I mean. But you know, he's so effective. Yeah, you know, when he's in the center of the park, and I think
he's more effective whenever he's just in one position. I mean, he can. I think he's shown that he can be a versatile player if he stays in a position, because we know he can. He's very lethal in that attack.
Right, and I think it feels like he's more comfortable in the center of the park too. The way he's played in previous times. But I get that James kind of wants to get him into more attacking positions because he's been fairly lethal this season. He's scored the most goals he's ever scored in an MLS season.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get a player that is feels comfortable
and
in front of goal.
And those goals aren't pure coincidence or a fluke. I mean,
he's just getting in good positions.
He's getting in good positions, and he's doing what he has to do. And he has a pretty good strike. If you think about it, you know, you normally never see Higuita kind of strike the ball as much as he has this season compared to previous season. He's shown that, you know, hey, I have another tool in the shed, and that's my attacking skills. And I mean, if he's showcasing it, I mean, have a show. It's been, you know, helping the team out when he scores. However, yeah, it's kind of weird because he is a central midfielder, and for him to kind of push more, you know, be more involved in the attack is a little bit of an unorthodox move. But well, hey,
it was something that the last two coaches have kind of touched on. Is Christian Higuita's attacking potential, right? You know, Adrian Heath touched on it a bit because he scored a goal in what 2015 or 16, and I remember we asked Adrian Heath about it. You know, what do you think of Christian's attacking prowess? He's like, you know, he's got a lot of potential. It's about getting him in the right spots. Jason Kreiss, after Higuita scored a goal, talked a little bit about getting him into more attacking positions because he feels like he could be a threat there. And, you know, you see a little bit of what James O'Connor is trying to do with that now. So you get the mindset behind it, but it's a lot of trial and error. To this point in the season, it's very unlikely that the team will make the playoffs. I don't want to say it's impossible because crazier things have happened in MLS, and, it is MLS. But it's a lot of trial and error for James to see what he has going into next year. And that was something we talked a little bit about today as well, is looking towards the future, looking towards next year.
And I pressed James O'Connor on that. Obviously, he mentioned the team has been playing with a lack of confidence. And has that kind of resulted into the team probably kind of missing out on the playoffs this year? And he said, you know, essentially, yeah, the playoffs are still the end goal, but we have to think about the short term. Now, when we talk about the long term, as you just mentioned, we also have to look at that too, because he's tweaking the lineup a lot. I think it's mostly juggling the short term and long term at the same time, and
which is insanely hard to
do. It's a challenge. Yeah. It's a challenge,
especially coming in midseason. You think about all the factors that have gone into the season, right? James came in inheriting a team that was on a historic losing streak. Somehow had to try and turn around. The players are capable. It's just the mentality is shot. It's very hard in the middle of the season to try and fix everything, especially inheriting a team that you're not essentially familiar with. You have to try and figure out how they can fit your playing style now, how you can make them better. I can't imagine what's going through James's head, especially getting all these draws and losses, close games. He must be insanely frustrated just because there were so many games since James has taken over where it's been mental mistakes. It's been simple mental mistakes that have cost this team points.
Those two goals that Philadelphia scored this past weekend. One took a deflection. And the one where
Shane O'Neill fell down and Corey Burke headed it in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, usually you kind of expect your center back to kind of clear that, and it was a little bit of a gap.
As he was backtracking, he was tracking the ball. Just lost his footing as he was looking up.
And that was a ball on a platter there for...
Yeah, and then he shushed the crowd, which I'm sure they didn't know. you can only imagine what James is trying to go through. And in preparation for next year, like he said, you got to think of the short term and try and get results now, but you also got the long term, you know. People have joked like, oh, James O'Connor is going to get fired at the end of the season because Orlando City's front office has such a short... span of having coaches, you know, they want to win and all that. It would look insanely bad on the front office if they fired James at the end of the season, because then that shows almost no patience. Knowing that you are going into next year with this roster, you can leave some pieces go, you can bring some pieces in, try and tweak it a little bit.
Even if, let's say, hypothetically speaking, they, you know, hypothetically speaking, because I don't want to start anything, but James does get sacked, right, at the offseason. Not saying it's going to happen.
Hypothetically, yes.
And I think it's unlikely it's going to happen, but hypothetically, because it's shown that the front office has a little bit of a...
Not that quick. They've given a year and a half.
But let's go back to this hypothesis here. Yeah. Hypothetically, even if they were to sack him at the end of the season, shouldn't there be... I mean, who comes to mind?
Who would take that job?
Caleb Porter already said no.
Right, because he wanted...
He wanted patience with the front office.
Yes, and that's the thing. There would be a very short list of coaches if that happened. Because if you want to be a coach of a professional soccer team, you want to be able to create your team. You don't want to be told, okay, you have 6 months to fix this, you have to win, with the team that we're giving you, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, or else you're fired. Do you think any high level coach would take that? No. And that's the thing. The front that's it. people were having the O'Connor out sign at the game the other day, which is stupid. We're not even going to get into that. But the team has to give him at least until the end of next season. At least. Even if he doesn't win next season, you have to give him time, or else you set a precedent for other coaches saying, we're not going to give you time. If you know, you have to come in and do this. We have so high, lofty expectations that it's almost impossible to meet, because you're basically putting ankle weights and all over you're weighing yourself down.
Yeah.
By having all these little handicaps of what you have to do to be able to succeed. And I get that the front office wants to win. It's been frustrating considering how successful they were in USL, considering that the fan base wants a team that can win games. It's just that they need to have a different approach into that, right? You look at, we brought this up a few times, Toronto FC. They went through so many years of trial and error before the last 3 years of being successful. They finally found the formula that worked because they were patient enough to let it come to fruition.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson that you can take away from another MLS club in this instance, because Orlando City and Toronto have similar histories in MLS in terms of their first few years.
Of course.
Right? And it's just a lot of patience. You got to have patience when it comes to a team. And Jason Kreis he said it after he was fired. He went on, talked to Jordan. He talked to Bianchi on the radio. He said, if we had time to figure this out, I have no doubt in my mind that we could have been successful, but I wasn't given the time.
I think at the end of the day, the patience, not only, obviously people read it, the front office doesn't have the patience, but also, you also have to look too, the fan base doesn't seem like they have the patience as well. So
I think
patience
it's
to be both ways.
Right, and I think that's stemming from the early years of USL, right? A lot of the fans saw how successful the team was in the minor leagues, and they're desperate to have that back. They're desperate to be the dominant team once again, because that's what that's the team they fell in love with. They fell in love with a team that was dominant on the field. They won almost every game. They won championships. They won trophies. They won the I-4 Derby. They won everything in the minor leagues. And then all of a sudden, you go one step up into MLS. Well, two steps up back then. But then it all falls apart, and you go to one of the more struggling teams in the league. And it's harder to see all the other expansion teams.
Yeah.
Atlanta, LAFC, even New York City. They've all made the playoffs. At this point, LAFC has made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They haven't made the playoffs yet, but they're in. They're second in the West. It's going to be very hard for them to just bottom out.
Yeah.
So you look at all the other expansion teams and how successful they are, and that adds fuel to the fire. You say, well, these guys can do it. Why can't we?
Yeah.
But again, one of the bigger things, I think, and we'll kind of move on after this, but one of the bigger things is just comes down to money. You look at all the other teams that have so much financial backing and so much support behind it. LAFC has their ownership group of Will Ferrell, Mia Hamm, Magic Johnson, you name it, all the big names out there in LA. Atlanta has Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons and their entire stadium. Tons and tons of money behind that. NYCFC has City Football Group.
Yep.
Tons of money behind that too. What does Orlando have?
Yeah.
They have Flavio and some minority owners. It's not the same, because it's not a big company. It's not a conglomerate.
And it's kind of scary too with Inter Miami coming into the fray as well.
Yeah.
In a few years. They have David Beckham, but then they have the Moss brothers, who have a very local connect Miami, and mm-hmm. you have Marcelo Clar, who's essentially, what can you say, he's a billionaire?
Yeah.
So, it's gonna be interesting how things kind of just unfold. I know I say that a lot, but that's the Orlando City story at this point.
It's
things are waiting to unfold, and they're unfolding the opposite way.
Yeah. But I think this is a point in the club's history where it's. You see how you can test a fan base. I don't mean that in like a negative way, like, oh, this is just a test to find a resolve and as a fan. I'm saying that this is where
I mean, there's a lot of people outside of Orlando City that kind of compare the Orlando City struggle to Toronto FC struggle.
Where right. That's what I was saying.
They had to wait almost 10 years to make the playoffs, and they're having a boom. Well, this season hasn't been the greatest. They've, you know.
But they won the treble last year.
They won the treble last year. So, but it shows that it, you know, it takes time to kind of get. I mean, who knows? Will it take 10 years? Will it take 20 years? Will it take 2 years to make the playoffs?
Right. But again, this is one of those situations where you have a bad team, and then once they become good, that kind of you find your footing as a club, because if you haven't gone through a struggle. It's like Atlanta, right? They've only known winning. Their fans, the Atlanta United fans, they've only known a winning club that has made the playoffs. So anytime they lose, they overreact completely and they freak out because, you know, oh my God, the team sucks, we're losing, you know. This is the kind of peaks and valleys, right?
Yeah.
You have the peak of USL and the valley of MLS for Orlando City right now. Eventually it will go back up to its peak. But this is the test for fans and us as media to cover a losing team. This is the test for us to kind of wade through it.
Yeah.
And come out better on the other side.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything else to say?
No, I mean, yeah, I think we kind of hit those points there.
So we got the Sporting Kansas City game coming up. That is going to be interesting because Orlando City is going to be out without Yoshi. Without Amro, without Muhammad, all three on international duty for their respective clubs, or national teams, shall I say. And then you've got three players missing for Sporting Kansas City as well, right? Johnny Russell, Daniel Shallowy, and somebody else?
I can't.
Yeah. Either way, Sporting will be missing three players as well, so... Orlando's been playing without Amro.
They just got thrashed, didn't they?
Sporting?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking the Real Salt Lake game.
That was six. Yeah, yeah. That was bad. But that wasn't.
No. Sporting, but Sporting did lose to Seattle, I believe, over the weekend. It was
They won. They lost 3-1.
Yeah.
And so. That was with Seattle getting a red card.
Yeah. But it's obviously going to be also a homecoming for two Orlando City players, Yuri Rosell and Dom Dwyer, as we spoke earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
And Dom Dwyer really didn't say much about, you know, he just says, you know, it's time to get another result, and even if that means going to Sporting Kansas City. Yuri, on the other hand, kind of showed a little bit of excitement. He said he's excited to go back there, a lot of memories over there, familiar faces. And I like this quote. I'm transcribing a quote. I have a story going up on MLSsoccer.com later today. Yuri said, hopefully, the feelings are apart when it comes to game time. So it shows that, you know, he wants to get a result. The team wants to get a result. Obviously, Dom, they didn't really say if he's going to score or celebrate or not. I, my opinion, I don't think he's going to celebrate. I think he has a lot of respect for SKC. When he left Sporting Kansas City, when he got traded to Orlando City, he had a heartfelt goodbye on his Instagram account. So that kind of shows that how much Sporting Kansas City meant to him.
I mean, it was where he got his career start. He got his big start with Orlando City in 2013 and then went back to Sporting and carved out a very good career for himself. One of the reasons that he's getting paid one of the highest salaries in Orlando City.
Yeah, no, so it's... I think, yeah, I don't, in my opinion, I don't think that Dom's going to celebrate. Obviously, Dom is the guy who likes to have fun in the squad. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, being serious, he's leading the team in goals. And he's playing his part in terms of helping the team out. And it kind of just shows the type of professional player that he is.
Dom scored against Orlando, did he not, when he was with Sporting?
He didn't play in that U.S. Open Cup game.
No. 2017.
No, he got a red card when he got into it with W. Mateos.
That was 2016.
In 2017, he didn't play. He was injured or suspended. So, yeah, they've never really been. I mean, 2016, he did play, but he got red carded. And it looked like a flop, too, if you look back.
It was rescinded afterwards.
So,
That's all you need to know.
But yeah, obviously it's gonna be an emotional game for both players, and obviously for Orlando City, it's important for them to get a result. And Dom obviously emphasized that we have to go get a result because the season is winding down, and points really matter at this point of the season when you're sitting outside the playoff. Not outside the playoff, but you're outside of the playoff picture at the same time.
Yeah. No, he did score. He did score a goal in 2016. It was at Sporting. Sporting won 2-1, and he scored a goal. It was back in May of 2016.
Was that when the Orlando City lost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was Orlando City losing.
Okay.
I knew I remembered him scoring. He didn't celebrate in that one, I don't think.
I was thinking a home game for a second.
Yeah. So. The home game, that was 2015 when they won 3-1, Orlando did. That was when he got red carded. 2015 was when he got red carded. 2016, he scored a goal in Sporting Park. In 2017, he was traded midseason to Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay, so we figured that out. other Orlando City related news, OCB's coming back. We talked about this a bunch of times on this show, but Jordan Culver, our good friend, was able to talk to everyone involved with this announcement coming up soon, the official announcement at least. The new team, or old team, if you want to look at it.
Well, they took a hiatus.
They took a one-year hiatus. They're going to be coming back, USL D3. They'll be playing at Montverde, which I'll get into in a second. The GM of Montverde, the coach of the U19 team, and was the coach of the Cima Aguilas PDL team, Mike Potempa. He'll be the GM of the team. And they'll be training and playing at Montverde Academy. One of the things that Jordan mentioned in his article, it's not meant to be a stop for players to come back from injury like original OCB was.
Or to get minutes.
Right, or to get minutes. It's mainly for Academy kids to get professional minutes. Mainly like a PDL side, but on a more higher level, if you want to say that. So instead of going to college, it's basically like this is your next stepping stone before you head to MLS.
No, I think it's a great.
It has its benefits and drawbacks for sure. Benefit is obviously you put a more of an emphasis on your academy, and that's something I know a lot of fans want to see. Play your kids kind of.
I'm just
kind of
curious what kind of support they're gonna get because
not much. OCB. Okay, so have you ever been to Montverde?
I passed by it, but I never been there.
So Montverde Academy's soccer complex. May hold, as of right now, 200 people.
Well, Jordan's article on Pro Soccer.
They are doing renovations, yeah.
And they're going to expand the width of the field as well. So
There's not much room to do that. Like you may, right. You'll have to build a press box, too, because there isn't one out there.
Is there really going to be that much press? I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I'm saying for, like, people, like, just not even press. I'm talking about.
I mean,
like,
I'll be honest. I'm definitely gonna be out at those games.
Right, but I'm saying like not even just for press. I'm talking about for like just the people running the game.
Well, yeah, broadcast and stuff like that.
You'll need something.
Well, that's another question that I have for USL D3. Will they have their own? Will the D3 teams have their own broadcast? Because I mean, PDL teams as it is don't have really. They lack those resources.
Right, that's PDL though.
Some teams from PDL that are jumping to D3.
Yes.
So these are questions that are obviously I'm asking them, and I think they're worth asking because I have really I'm over here clueless.
We should reach out to Lenny Santiago.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure he has a firm. Understanding and
just have them on the podcast. Have them talk about D3 and what their plans are.
That's a good idea. Hey,
now that this is becoming official,
we've created a new show now, guys. So stay tuned for that. But no, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that there's professional soccer in the United States. Obviously, there's those that are the pro promotion regulation debaters. I'm not gonna get into that. But it's good for soccer to have different types of tiers. In any way that can help in terms of development, D3 is going to serve as that, as Jordan's story says on Pro Soccer USA, it's going to serve as a bridge, and that's essential for the growth of soccer, not only in Orlando City but in American soccer itself. So yeah, it's great. They're going to go to Montverde. They're going to expand the soccer complex and the width, and also have some amenities for VIP seatings. So yeah, and the team's gonna train and play there too. So it's
the issue is with Montverde, and I get the idea behind it, but for fans to go to games, it's kind of hard. It's really just out in the middle of nowhere.
My question comes from. It's, will there actually be fan support? I mean, this is a great.
You'll have Montverde Academy students probably showing up.
I think that, but I think this is also a great time for Orlando City to kind of market out to Lake County. Not saying that they're not, but
that was something that Nicky Badalich actually mentioned in Jordan's story. Right, he said, you know, marketing to the people of Claremont that may be not able to make it out to Orlando City games consistently.
Well, yeah, I think that opens up another. That opens up another bridge in itself. Obviously, there's a technical bridge for players, but a marketing bridge. Yeah. As well. Lake County is part of Central Florida, and Orlando City is Central Florida, essentially, because there are fans that come from all over Central Florida to the games.
And it kind of makes an interesting dynamic because it's a high school, right?
Yeah.
Basically, you can just offer free admission to all your students, and you can fill the entire stands, right?
Yeah.
Think about it like that. Well, it will be during the summer, mainly, but during the school years.
Will D3 play kickoff during the summer?
They'll play the same
USL?
Schedule.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know PDL is summer.
They'll start in March, go until August, September.
They're about to announce their founding members. I don't know if they've already announced
USL?
D3.
Yeah, well, they've already announced a bunch.
So, but they're going to do their official founding members. I've seen a tweet around there.
OCB could be one of those coming up as an official.
Oh, no, for sure, because there's also Toronto FC, too.
Coming back as well, yeah.
To D3. So I'm kind of curious to know how many teams are going to start off the season. And that will probably, that will probably dictate how many games are going to be played in the season. Because if you're going to have 12 teams in D3, I can't picture a 24 game season. You're going to be playing the same team five times in one season.
I feel like there's going to be more than just 12 teams.
I mean,
I feel like there should be.
I would hope.
Yeah.
I mean, makes the competition even juicier.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the OCB news for today.
It's nice to be talking about OCB for once.
It's been a while. When is the show going live? I know we're recording
today.
On a Thursday.
Today.
So yes, if you're hearing this today, we recorded this today. On Friday, we're going to be at the UCF men's soccer game. They're taking on West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of shows that the Orlando Soccer Show is more than just Orlando City.
We did the Rollins preview show last week. We might even. A little inside baseball here, but I was thinking of reaching out to Eastern Florida State, talking to them maybe, because they're one of the best on the men's and women's side. They're one of the best junior college soccer teams.
And it's just official. Orlando City announces, got the press release, that Orlando City B will join USL D3 for its inaugural season. This just dropped at 11:04 real time here as we record the show. Orlando City just announces that it's Orlando CDB, its lower division side, will join USL D3. USL Division 3 will provide passionate fans in new markets with a proven professional soccer experience. OCB joins South Georgia Tormenta FC, FC Tucson, Triumph SC, Madison Pro Soccer, Chattanooga Pro Soccer, and Toronto FC 2 as founding members ahead of the professional league's debut in 2019. So there we go. I just mentioned the founding members of USL D3. So, obviously, yeah, we just spoke on that, and it's there it is. Orlando City just announced it as well, so that helps big time. Well, is there anything else? I mean, I've run of things to say.
Pride.
Pride. They have their final game of the season this Saturday. They play at noon, I believe, against Sky Blue. So, you were at Pride training yesterday. Anything you kind of want to just recap there?
It was a lot of, you know, looking ahead to next season kind of thing, right? What are you planning on? What are you looking for the last game of the season? Is what I asked Tom Sermani, and he just said, I want a professional performance. I want the team to go out there and play as professionals would, like the game meant something, you know, even though it necessarily doesn't. And I'm paraphrasing that, by the way. And so it's... you know, it's a struggle for these players because they really got nothing else to play for. They're playing for their jobs for next season. Tom, his future's up in the air as well, I guess. So, I don't know. They're playing a team that has not won a game this season, that has had heartbreak after heartbreak, and it has been an incredible struggle for them to just find any sort of momentum. They're just looking for a win in general. And their last chance to do it is against Orlando.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They have something to play for. Orlando really doesn't.
So the playoffs, yeah, and just to, you know, for fans that don't know, the playoffs are definitely out of the picture for the Orlando Pride. They're mathematically eliminated.
Yes.
There's one game left, so it'll be interesting to see. Will Alex Morgan play on Saturday? Because I know she's with the national team.
Same with Ashlyn. I don't know.
But does it matter at this point?
No.
So.
But, you know, might be Alex's last game with Orlando. I don't know. Might be Marta's last game with Orlando because her contract's up. So here's a thing. She did an interview recently in Sweden where she was contemplating possibly retiring. Because she's like, I can't do the things I used to be able to do anymore. And so she's going to take some time off and step away during this offseason, possibly go back to Europe to go play because she, you know, misses Sweden. Possibly stay with Orlando because she enjoys playing here, but also possibly just give up. Stop playing.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, she was the Pride's MVP.
Well, she got nominated for Player of the Year.
That, on the other hand.
That was a question mark, yeah, because Sam Kerr is probably still more deserving, and she's just, I don't understand how she's not getting nominated for anything.
Another video that the Pride put out, and it was in subtitles, but Marta's like, I don't believe it, and back on is like, I don't believe it either. But she got nominated. She is one of the GOATs. I'm not. What I'm saying is
not one of the.
She is the one. Yeah. Oh yeah. I guess yeah. The GOATs. I'm an American man, so you know I'm gonna have to include Mia Hamm in that picture as well. But she is one. She is the probably the greatest female Brazilian player of all time. So I'm not negating the fact that she got nominated as a farce or as a. Hopefully I said that right, but. I'm not negating that. She definitely puts a lot on the field. To me, she was a Pride MVP, and that is so. Whether she is, you know, worthy of that nomination for Women's Player of the Year, that's up for debate. Obviously, it is up for debate. You just have to go on Twitter. But she, for me, was the Pride's MVP. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah.
So it, we'll see what happens on Saturday for. Both City and Pride. One last thing I do want to talk about before we wrap the show up. Like I said, it's going to be fairly short. We will hopefully have a UCF season preview next week, barring everything goes correctly.
We'll be at Friday's UCF men's soccer. Those that are listening, I mean, go out and support some local soccer. UCF men's soccer are playing tomorrow. Obviously, we'll be there. If you guys are there, say hi to us.
Yeah,
they're playing West Virginia. Kickoffs at 7:30 at the UCF Soccer Complex. Is Rollins playing any soccer games this weekend?
They are indeed.
And UCF students going for free. So if you're a UCF student listening to this match, you're in for free. So
men's soccer's away out in West Florida. Was that Pensacola, I think? And then the women's soccer plays Tusculum on the 7th. Oh, so tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
On Friday, yeah.
So if you want men's game, go to UCF. If you want women's game, go to Rollins.
And at what time is the Rollins women's game?
7.
7. So there's a 7 game for women's Rollins and a 7:30 game for UCF men's soccer. So we kind of just recap the whole Orlando soccer scene.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I haven't done this in a while, so I'm excited.
It's like riding a bike again, you know?
Yeah, it's like exactly like that. It's a good analogy. I suck at analogies. I said an analogy earlier today, which I'm not going to say on the show, but it was very...
Are you sure you don't want to say it?
Nah.
Oh, come on.
I'll leave it for the postseason blooper reel, if we ever have one.
Yeah. we gotta start planning for the offseason now.
So,
last thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of not Orlando-related, but it is MLS-related... Miami released their new name and logo, Inter Miami.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, where are they going to play? that's the main question.
This is the exact – okay, so they're like one step ahead of where they were 4 years ago, where they have a name and a logo now. 4 years ago, they had a team but couldn't find a stadium. Now they have a team, a logo, and a name. But they still don't have a stadium.
And the stadium's still up in the air because at the end of the day, it's up for a referendum vote, which the only residents of the city of Miami can vote for. So if you live in Hialeah, you can't vote for this stadium referendum vote. You have to live in the city limits. So it's up for a vote in November. Obviously, the stadium's going to be privately financed, and it's going to be at a golf course, country club, literally right across the street from Miami International Airport. But yeah, I mean, they have the colors, they have the emblem. Jerseys are soon to come, according to the Miami Herald, and obviously merchandise and all that. But where are they going to play? Obviously, I think it's self evident that the team's going to play in a temporary site before the stadium gets built. The only thing that comes to mind is Hard Rock Live Stadium.
Or Marlins Park.
But
nobody really ever goes to Marlins Park.
But are we really waiting to see another MLS game
in a baseball
stadium? We already know how New York City FC's fields are. Not the greatest. Honestly, it's probably not the greatest soccer pitch in MLS. No. Yankee Stadium itself is iconic, but it's a baseball stadium, not a soccer stadium.
Marlins Park is not iconic, and it's not – I mean –
I think already
you could argue it's a baseball stadium because
it is.
It looks more like an art exhibit sometimes.
So, Hard Rock Live is probably the most logical sense, but it's great. I can't wait for the Derby to start.
We were debating today what they're going to be called. Jordan wants to call it the Pink and Purple Derby, or Derby. That was another thing we were talking about. I my British heritage tells me it is Derby. Lucas Casas says it's Derby because it's America. What do you say, Derby or Darby?
I say Derby. I'm American. I'll say that, but I want to say Florida Derby, but that will probably tick off some Rowdies fans, especially Florida Fort Lauderdale Strikers fans.
Well, that's
fans.
The I-4 Derby.
Well, no, the Florida Derby is between the Rowdies and Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
Yeah, but the Strikers don't exist anymore.
But the Strikers have a lot of resentment towards Inter Miami. So
that's fair,
but I don't know. I think Orlando City should just kind of grab that and say the Florida Derby is ours now. But
it's like what UCF and USF did with the war on I-4. They stole it from the Predators and the Tampa Bay Storm.
And they can just get fancy with it like they did with LA, El Tráfico. You know, just make something up. El Turnpike or something. El Turnpico.
El Turnpico. I don't see that going over too well. But
the Citrus Derby.
No, okay. This will be a conversation for another time. We'll have to, if it ever comes to fruition, if this team ends up existing, we'll have to try and figure out what it's going to be called, what this rivalry is going to be called, if it becomes a rivalry, because there's a lot of contention of what is and what isn't a rivalry these days.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what happens. But, I think that'll do it for this episode of the Orlando Soccer Show. Thanks, Mike, for finally getting back on here. And good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back.
And, we'll hopefully get some more stuff out next week with UCF, get a little preview going, talk to the coaches, talk about the expectations for the season, and hopefully talk about two wins for the pro teams in Orlando. Hopefully.
All right.
We'll see. So with that, thanks for joining us here on the Orlando Soccer Show. We're going to get out of here. You can follow us, as always, on Twitter at ORL Soccer Show. And follow Mike at By Mike Gramajo. Follow me at AustinDavid22. And that just about covers it.
All righty.
So, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with some UCF.
All right. Later, y'all.